After months of prayer, guidance from the Spirit, and planning, it is great to finally be here with you worshiping today. It's no small task to sit down and write your first sermon for a new parish. Let me tell you, lots of questions ran through my head. Should I try to be funny or come off as a serious academic? Should I tackle one of the many current events that we are currently facing and dig into what our faith may have to say about it? Should I bring props? That's not actually a real question. If you've got props, you should always bring them. But then I sat down, like I always do, and I prayed and I read the scripture and I prayed some more. And I said to myself, duh, preach the gospel. That's why we're here. And the rest of it will fall into place. So, props. Don't expect this every Sunday. But today, I would like to share my Jesus action figure. As far as action figures go, he's pretty chill. He raises his arms in prayer, and per the description on the package, he has a realistic gliding motion. I imagine that's kind of how he looked when he walked on water. You may wonder where in the world I'm going with this, and I promise it's not just a first sermon gimmick. You see, one of the central tenets of the Christian faith is the incarnation. It is the belief that God chose to be not only born of a human, but became human, to be with us. That's how much God loved and loves us. It's true that God is bigger than any of our imaginations and won't be stuffed into any of our neat little boxes. And yet, God made the decision to live the limited life of a human. We affirm this every week when we say the Nicene Creed, asserting that in Jesus, God was both fully human and fully divine. It's a mystery as to how exactly that all works out in the wash, and I'm not going to go into a detailed theological exploration of that today. But I wanted to bring up the incarnation because we pay it great lip service. One of our two big feasts is a celebration of it, Christmas. But I'm not sure that we always really believe it. Too often, our faith defaults to action figure Jesus. That is, fully divine, with a side of realistic gliding motion. And why not? It is God, after all. And we get stories like those in Mark's gospel today with the casting out of a demon from afar and from the healing of a deaf and mute man. You have to suspend human reality to believe those stories, or simply take them as symbolic, or just write them off. That's what Thomas Jefferson did when he made his Bible. But what if we weave our understanding of what it means to be human with the divine power that Jesus wielded? We would find hypocrisy, sin, reconciliation, healing, compassion, and mercy. In short, we would find today's gospel stories. Today's verses from Mark come directly after another confrontation between Jesus and the religious authorities. In last week's gospel, we witnessed that back and forth, where he warned of hypocrisy and proclaimed that what defiles the world is the evil intentions that come from human hearts. And then he gave this veritable laundry list. Do you remember it? Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. We always assume he's talking to us. We convict ourselves when we hear such words. But what if the author of this gospel put that story back to back with today's story on purpose? What if instead of reading them as separate, unconnected blurbs, we see the first setting up the second? And what if the warnings about hypocrisy highlight not the shortcomings of Jesus' followers, but of Jesus himself? Whoa. Is that allowed? Is that a heresy? Woe indeed. And yes, it's allowed if we truly believe in the incarnation. And nope, it's not a heresy, though I'm happy to share my other heretical thoughts with you at another time. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard about Jesus, and she came and she bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and give it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This is not the compassionate and caring healer Jesus that we have come to know and love. What we see in Jesus' interaction with the Syrophoenician woman is what one scholar has called a moment where Jesus is caught with his proverbial compassion down. Put another way, we get to witness what is a kind of conversion moment for Jesus, in which he realized, maybe in a very human moment of physical and mental exhaustion, because our story seems to indicate, doesn't it, that he was trying to lie low after the intensity of the crowds? So maybe he realized how it was that he had lost sight of the point of his mission, and he needed to be reconnected to it, perhaps by someone who was assumed to be outside of it. Props to this woman with no name, who spoke truth to power and was the only person in the entire Gospel of Mark to best Jesus in an argument. In the verses just prior, Jesus had reminded his followers that social conventions should not stand in the way of creating community and helping those in need. And in these verses, this woman reminds Jesus himself of that. And with that, Jesus declares to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Contrary to the image of God as immutable, what we have in this story is a human Jesus wrestling with the very real limits of humanity, with hypocrisy, sin, and the need for reconciliation, and also responding with healing, compassion, and mercy. And what points us towards Jesus's divinity here is that changing his mind and recentering himself did not lead to a diminishment of his power. Being human here isn't the full story, and so instead we see an expansion of his power and the revealing that God is not unchanging and unresponsive, but is indeed compassionate and merciful. The story of the man who is deaf and mute that immediately follows Jesus being straightened out and opened up by the Syrophoenician woman serves as an example of how being opened up empowers us to open up others. So it was that when the crowd brought to Jesus the man and asked him to lay hands on him, he took him aside and he healed them. He restored his health and his place in community. This healing stands out because of the very tactile nature of it. As opposed to the healing of the woman's daughter with a word and from afar, here Jesus is very hands-on. He put his fingers into his ears and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. We see here a cloth fully woven. In the coming chapters, Jesus will continue to heal and to work miracles among the crowds, to spar with the authorities, and invite people to come and know him more fully. But with the close of chapter 7, I think we see a fullness of the humanness and divineness of Jesus. We get to keep action figure Jesus, but we also have to claim a softer Jesus, like perhaps, say, this finger puppet Jesus. It is the classic both and, never the either or. And our faith is richer for the both. Is there not comfort in the thought that Jesus faced his own hypocrisy and struggled to find his own center in God, knowing suffering not only at the hands of the powers that be, but also as a challenge of the human condition itself? Is there not comfort in the realization that God never causes suffering, but experienced it through the incarnation, and so with compassion and mercy abides with us in our own suffering? And is there not comfort in the promise of healing from afar through the unrelenting love of God and up close through the power of community? My prayer today, this day that we begin our ministry together, is that our faith embraces the fullness of Jesus and that we really pray today's collect so that we, like Jesus, trust in God with our whole hearts, always resisting pride that confides in its own strength, while always boasting of God's mercy and compassion. Amen.